And a hearty good Friday afternoon, everybody. I'm Al Ross. It's time for Spectrum West. This is where people come to talk about what's going on in the arts, music, and humanities in West Wisconsin, and it's where even more people come to listen to those conversations. Thanks for being with us. Today, our broadcast buffet features a young man from Ellsworth who's living out a dream of many, taking the talent he possesses to levels most will never attain, a national stage, a stage known as American Idol. Reed Grimm's songs and personalities have survived long enough to get him into the final 42 contenders. We were able to talk with him the other day, and you'll hear about what's going on in his hectic life these days. Mr. Jim Oliver's here with a look at what's on our stages, and he'll share a conversation with Audrick Boer, director of the Menominee Theater Guild rendition of Annie, Get Your Gun. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet takes to the Phipps Center stage in Hudson Sunday evening. They all crowded around a speakerphone for a one-on-five. We'll bring that to you. And tomorrow evening, the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra offers the fourth of its five concert season, so we decided it was an appropriate opportunity to talk again with Ivar Lundy Jr., the director of Echo, as folks like to call it. It's always fun to visit his studio. I have to be sure to wear good socks when I go, because one takes off his shoes and shuffles around the immaculate wooden floors on his way to a couple chairs where we begin our conversation. Tomorrow's event is called More by Request, and that was my first question. If this is indeed a concert whose program is founded on requests.
Yes, yes. Particularly the first half, The Facade by Walton. An audience member submitted that request, and it was just one idea that really blossomed in my mind after a while. I said, you know, we can do something with this, because it's a small orchestra. The original version is having the poetry read with the performance of the music, but we decided the other day that we didn't want to do all of the songs that way, or all of the poems that way. We will leave some of the poetry up to the imagination of the listener. So we will read a few, perform a few with narration, and then we will play some of the pieces by themselves. Because some of the musicians, as a matter of fact, asked me afterwards, can we do this by ourselves? Because they thought it was a fine music by itself. Okay. So that's the way we'll do it.
I'm always intrigued by titles. What makes this a facade? Is there a facade in front of this piece, or where is there a facade?
Well, that's an interesting question. Apparently, in the very beginning, the piece was performed with narration behind the screen. So that could be part of the facade. Okay. Could be some of the texts referred to a facade. The whole set of music is kind of a tongue-in-cheek. Is it called a facade? And this particular section is called an entertainment. That's the subtitle, an entertainment.
So it was written with the narrations, or this is something you're adding?
The narration was original.
Okay.
And Edith Sitwell's poems were then, since Walton was a lodger in her house, he was asked basically to add the music as the poems were written.
As soon as I saw the name Walton, I wondered if there was a connection to Walmart, but I guess there isn't.
No, I'm sorry. That would be pre-Walmart, yes.
Well, Peter Phippen is a guest artist in this concert. We all know, hopefully, what he does and how he plays. Another piece on the program is something by somebody named Lundy. Were some of these written for the World Flute, or are you just adapting things?
No, this piece was a piece that I have mulled over basically for the last 2 years, I think, because I know Peter really likes to play with strings, and he is a fabulous improviser. I tried very hard in this piece to play into that aspect of his performance, and this piece is divided into sections. He may begin the piece with a very short statement, then the orchestra will play, and again, it's a very basic small chamber orchestra. It's basically strings and four or five winds, and with percussion also. And after the first section with the orchestra, which lasts about a minute and a half, then he comes in with a section again by himself, more or less a minute. Then we start again, and then he starts with the section, imitating what we are trying to do. And then we kind of merge together in the middle of the piece, and then towards the end, he and the orchestra will start a big climax towards the end.
Spirit of the Forest.
Yes. Spirits of the Forest. Actually, that's a misprint in the program. Oh. So there are more than one spirit.
It's good to have more than one spirit, I think.
Certainly if you're in the woods.
Another piece on the program is Elegy for Strings by Carter. Who is that?
Elliot Carter is probably the most, well, this may sound strange, but he's probably one of the most famous American composers presently living. He's more than 100 years old. So, and he's still writing. And I played some of his music many, 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 many years ago. He is an experimental composer, probably best known for that. But in the beginning, he was neo-romantic and neoclassical. Okay. And this piece is kind of in between. It's kind of from one era or one style of his writing to the next style.
And something briefly about the St. Paul Suite. Is that relative to our neighbor to the west?
No, not at all. I thought so, actually, some years ago myself. No, it's not. It's Gustav Holst taught at the this girls' school, and this was for the school where he taught. He wrote two pieces, and we had done the other piece as well, and this is one of his most famous pieces, the St. Paul Suite. This is for strings alone. It's a very nice piece.
Well, we're talking with Ivar Lundy, Jr. He is the director of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra. They have a concert tomorrow, the 18th, Grace Lutheran Church at 7:30. You have one more concert remaining in your season, and that is kind of a tribute to somebody we all know and love.
Yes, Ludwig van Beethoven, yes. We're dedicating the whole concert to him. We call it the Salute to Beethoven, and we are doing two transitional pieces for him as well, the Third Piano Concerto and the Seventh Symphony. And we are inviting members of the IIIU Symphony to be part of this symphony. We hope that they will do the fourth movement with us and possibly even the third movement.
For a moment there, I thought you were going to say we're inviting members of the Beethoven family.
He did not have a very big family at the end there, no, not at all.
You know, one thing that I noticed about the chamber orchestra is you have a very aggressive concert schedule. Except for December, you have a concert every month. I wondered if that was intentional because you get more out of a group when they're as focused as having to produce and perform every month rather than having, you know, longer time to do it the way other or some other groups do.
Well, most other groups, certainly in this area, will rehearse once a week. We don't rehearse once a week. We just rehearse primarily about 2 weeks before each concert. Presently, we are doing five concerts a year, but we used to do seven concerts, as a matter of fact, some years ago, but we have cut back a little bit. In the spring-winter season, we have a concert in January and then in February and then in March. This is because we can't really touch the later spring season because too many other things are going on in town. And we share members with the Chippewa Valley Symphony, and sometimes we use members from the university as well. So we have a scheduling problem. It will be fun to do a concert every month. And yes, you're absolutely correct. The more we would play together, the more cohesive the result would be. But presently, we have had a fairly stable set of musicians playing with us, and that makes for a difference. Yes, indeed.
Ivar Lundy, Jr., director of the Eau Claire Chamber Orchestra. Tomorrow evening, Grace Lutheran Church in Eau Claire. It's called More by Request. It begins at 7:30. Tickets available at the door and online at EauClaireChamberOrchestra.org. 16 minutes after 5 o'clock, and thanks for being with us here on Spectrum West.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Wisconsin Credit Union, offering online and phone loan applications for student loans, consolidation, vehicles, a line of credit, and more. Information online at wisconsincu.org.
Thank you so much, ma'am. tomorrow evening at the Northern Lakes Center for the Arts in Amory. It's an evening with vocal instructor David Midbow in a program called For President's Day. It's at 7:30 p.m. and includes a Civil War salute. Information is at 715-268-6811. This is Spectrum West. Thanks for being here. I reached them at UW-Madison. They were in Mills Hall, a main concert venue for the UW School of Music. They were gathered for a regular rehearsal and all gathered around the phone. It was kind of fun. John Ailey on lead trumpet, Doug Lindsay on second trumpet, Dan Grabois on French horn, Mark Hetzler on trombone, John Stevens on tuba. The UW Music Department is a fairly large umbrella under which sits the bands, the choirs, the operas, orchestras, the Pro Art Quartet, the Wingrill Woodwind Quintet, and the aforementioned individuals, collectively known as the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. Tell us, and I don't know who's going to dive in, I suppose you have this choreographed, but tell us about your jobs as ambassador.
We are purveyors of the Wisconsin idea, which is that the boundaries of our university are really the boundaries of the state. So part of our job is to take the performing that we do here on campus out around the state of Wisconsin. We normally spend roughly a week each semester. Sometimes it's a week all at once, but more often it's run-out concerts going all over the state, performing for presenters and at schools, doing clinics and master classes as well as concerts. And in that way, we sort of, you said it correctly, we're ambassadors for everything that goes on here in the School of Music.
Do you reach out to all grades?
We have played for all grades. I have to admit that when we're playing at schools, our focus tends to be with high schools for a number of reasons. Part of our mission, of course, is to make sure that students who are interested in pursuing careers in music are aware of our School of Music here. So there's a recruiting element, if you will, that takes us into high schools. We sometimes play for elementary and middle schools also, but the schools that tend to have the budgets and the interest in having us in tend to be high schools more than anything else.
I was reading in your bio that this group has been together since 72, its inception, so I'm guessing that there is some attrition. How long, on average, do five people hang out together?
Well, John Ailey, our first trumpet player, has been in the group for 31 years.
Wow.
This is John Stevens, the tuba player. This is my 27th year in the group.
Hmm.
Mark Hetzler has been with us for 8 years. Our previous trombone player retired after many years of service here, and Mark joined us 8 years ago. This is Doug Lindsay's second year in the group, and Dan Grabois has actually just been with us since the fall. We're very pleased to have Dan join the group.
Well, Dan, yeah, you're listed on the website as just horn. Is that short for French horn or what?
It's not really short. Some people don't like calling it a French horn because technically it's not French. I think the people who argue about that a lot of free time. We call it either the French horn or the horn. It doesn't really matter.
Trumpet, trombone, tuba, and then horn just didn't sound right to me. French horn is much nicer. I don't have enough time to go into it, but
car horn.
Yeah, sure. Well, I read also that you guys play a good amount of original music. There are, from what I read, a couple of you that are composers, or do all of you sort of dabble in that once in a while?
Well, there are a couple of us in the group that compose quite a lot, actually. Myself, Dan Grabois, is quite active as a composer. Mark Hetzler is becoming more active. And Doug Lindsay, we're actually playing a piece on our next concert that Doug wrote. So four out of the five of us are active to one degree or another as composers and arrangers.
Our upcoming concert actually features the music of three of us, John Stevens, Doug Lindsay, and Dan Grabois.
I also know that Wisconsin Public Radio is a natural voice for the quintet. You perform regularly, I hear.
We generally perform once, sometimes twice a year, on a Sunday afternoon live from the Chazen series. There's no particular date. Quite often, they like to have us perform near the holidays because we tend to play programs that are perceived as being perhaps more festive than some of the other instrumentalists.
Does the genre of music that you play, is it pigeonholable, or do you play all different kinds of stuff?
Well, we play classical music, but I guess I would say we play classical music, whatever that means. The brass quintet as a ensemble formation is pretty new compared to, especially to the string quartet, which has been around for hundreds of years. And so we're still creating our core repertoire. It's not there yet. We don't have our set of Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven's string quartets that define the genre. And I think this is why you'll find so many composers among brass players worldwide, because you can't yet pigeonhole what brass quintets do. And this group is certainly open to anything that comes our way that feels musically valid to us. So I would say we're very much not categorizable.
Obviously, we know that you play in this quintet. Are you instructors? Are you professors? What else do you do?
We're all, four of the five of us are professors here. We constitute the brass faculty at the School of Music. Doug Lindsay is a doctoral student getting a degree in trumpet performance. So we all teach as a big part of our job here in addition to our performing. John Ailey is also the principal trumpet in the Madison Symphony Orchestra. And all of us play and teach around the country and around the world in many different facets. Mark Hetzler has been, in addition to playing in our quintet, trombonist with the Empire Brass Quintet for a long, long time. And Dan Graboy has been the hornist with a group called the Meridian Arts Ensemble. I do a lot of composing and arranging and conducting. So we have very eclectic musical lives, which is why we like the profession that we're in and the jobs that we have here at the university, because there's a great deal of variety in what we do that encompasses all facets of music.
Are there special things about this season because it's supposedly the 40th?
Well, this is Dan talking. I think we're celebrating our 40th next season.
Okay.
This season is extremely special to me, it being my first season with the group, and I want to add to what John Stevens just told you and go all out here and say that this is a dream job that we have. Mm-hmm. We are professors teaching wonderful students who are really enthusiastic about what they do and who are hungry for success. We are getting paid to teach them and to play in this group and to bring the music that we love to the people of Wisconsin, and it's pretty hard to imagine a more satisfying work situation than what we have, and we're very grateful.
You travel around and you talk to young people and you also teach them. With so much stuff that's going on in young people's lives today, and is music holding its own as far as being something that young people want to do?
It's always a challenge getting young people interested in something that takes lots of time, energy, and concentration and discipline. And we think that those are really valuable skills to have for any person in our society. So we are always encouraging people to try to develop those characteristics in themselves. And we feel that studying an instrument for a young person is not only great because it's fun and because you can play music together and you can create art, but it's also just the skills that come with playing an instrument and learning an instrument are the same skills that you need to thrive in our society.
Our guests are all members of the Wisconsin Brass Quintet, coming to the Phipps Center for the Arts in West Wisconsin for a Sunday concert. You have also, I read, a video. It's called Developing Brass Ensembles.
I have to say at this point, this is rather an ancient part of our history. The video was made a long time ago. As far as I know, although some of these videos as part of this series have been converted into DVDs, I don't believe ours has yet, which means it's only available in a format that hardly anybody uses anymore.
So if someone has a VHS player, they're good.
That's exactly right.
Well, tell us about the program that you do bring on the road, the one you'll be performing at the Phipps Center Sunday evening.
We're going to open off with sort of a brass favorite. It's been around for quite a while. It's a short overture by Witold Lutosławski. It's an incredibly exciting piece. I guess one would say modern. However, we find it very, very accessible to audiences. It really gets them excited. We're going to follow that up with a set of four madrigals by Monteverdi. Exquisite vocal pieces transcribed for brass quintet that show off the lyrical nature of our ensemble. And then from there we go to a brand new work of music by Doug Lindsay, a piece that he has titled Emerald Street Suite. Doug lives on Emerald Street here in Madison, and he has two roommates and a dog, and he's named each of the movements after the inhabitants of his house. It's very idiomatic for our brass instruments. From there we go to intermission, and we come back to perform a piece that Dan Graboy, our horn player, composed in 1995. It's titled Zen Monkey. Very interesting piece. Fuses together modern brass compositional concepts with sort of maybe Middle Eastern styles and sounds. And then from there, we're going to perform a suite of Brazilian folk music composed by Vila Lobos. Basically a set of choros, which are sad folk songs. They're kind of dance tunes that are quite uplifting, very virtuosic and surprisingly effective on the brass instruments, having been transcribed from the original version for guitar. And then we're going to finish up with a piece that John Stevens composed. John's our tuba player. He wrote this in 2009, and it's entitled Collage, which is essentially a set of seven movements that run without break, each piece focusing on different sections of the brass quintet, duets for trumpets, trios for low brass, solo tuba movements. It's a very exciting and interesting work that John composed a few years ago when he was spending some time on Cape Cod. So we hope the audience will enjoy this concert. It's very accessible. It shows off the virtuosity of brass, and it certainly shows off a great deal of depth and interest in the music that we like to perform.
There you go. They told me they've played many times at the Phipps in Hudson, and they love coming to this part of Wisconsin. I assured them that, except for a few pockets of folks who like maroon and yellow, we are big Cardinal and White Badger fans here. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet, Sunday evening, 7 p.m. in Hudson. Tickets at thephipps.org or by phone at 386-2305. Area code 715, of course, 386-2305. Let's listen to the Wisconsin Brass Quintet. This is called Ragtime. The Wisconsin Brass Quintet. That's funny stuff, isn't it? They play some pretty serious stuff, too, as well. I just wanted to dance there for a moment. The Latino theater group Teatro del Pueblo is performing the play Help Wanted at 7 p.m. Tuesday at the Davies Theater at UW Eau Claire. It's about a family of immigrants who come to the Midwest in search of a better life. The performance is free and open to the public. We'll have more on our Spectrum Memos coming up in the second half of Spectrum West, in which we'll talk to the director of the latest Menominee Theater Guild production opening Thursday, and West Wisconsin's proud contender in American Idol, Mr. Reed Grimm, will be with us. Stick around. The news is next. We'll be back. Welcome back to Spectrum West, everyone. The next 24 minutes of our lives will include a conversation with Reed Grimm. If you're an American Idol fan, you don't need help identifying him. If you've stayed away, now's the time to take a peek, because this West Wisconsin entertainer is making quite a name for himself at the moment. And Jim Oliver welcomes the director of the Menominee Theater Guild rendering of Annie Get Your Gun. But before we slide into those features, let's grease the runway with a bit of Oliver oil and a look at, I know, and a look at what's going on in this pleasantly busy place that we live.
Here's what's on stage this weekend and beyond at Western Wisconsin theater venues. The Bare Bones Ensemble Theater will present God of Carnage next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Grand Little Theater in Eau Claire. The Secret Life of Girls will be presented Saturday and Sunday at the Heide Center for the Arts in Chippewa Falls. The Chippewa Valley Theater Guild will present The Odd Couple tonight through Sunday at the Grand Little Theater in Eau Claire. Adventures in Mating plays tonight through Sunday at the Northern Star Theater in Rice Lake. Tuna Does Vegas plays tonight and Saturday at the Fanny Hill Dinner Theater in Eau Claire. The production will run through April 1st. The Phipps Children's Theater will present Alice in Wonderland tonight, Saturday and Sunday, at the Phipps Center for the Arts in Hudson. The Eau Claire Children's Theater will hold auditions for Dora the Explorer at 5:30 p.m. Sunday and Monday at the Oxford Theater. There are roles for 16 males and females, ages 10 to 18. All performers must prepare a one-minute cutting from any Broadway or Disney song. Performances include 4 school matinees and 7 public shows, April 12th to the 15th, and the 20th and the 21st at the Oxford. Auditions for Gypsy, a production of the Chippewa Valley Theater Guild, will be held Monday and Tuesday at the Grand Little Theater in Eau Claire. Times are 6 p.m. for children 10 and up, and 7 p.m. for adults. Needed are 2 girls ages 10 to 13, 2 older girls ages 14 to 25, boys ages 10 to 15, males ages 16 to 65, and women ages 18 and up for a cast of 30 to 35. Show dates are April 26th through the 29th. And that's some of what's happening in theaters around the region. I'm Jim Oliver.
Thank you, sir. Red Cedar, the annual Journal of Arts and Literature at UW-Barron County, is soliciting submissions from writers, visual artists, and photographers for consideration in the 2012 edition. The deadline's Monday, February 27th. Submissions can be emailed to redcedar@uwc.edu, along with a brief biography or statement about the submitted work, along with the contact information. Information is at 234-8176, extension 5467. It's now 21 before 6, and I just decided I haven't had enough of that Oliver magic. Here again is Jim with some of his weekly dialogue on the dramatic.
Annie, Get Your Gun, with music and lyrics by Irving Berlin and book by Dorothy and Herbert Fields, will be presented by the Menominee Theater Guild beginning Thursday, February 23rd, and will run through March 4th at the Mabel Tainter Theater in Menominee. Directing the Menominee Theater Guild production is Audric Boer, who joins us to talk about the classic American musical comedy. Welcome to Spectrum West.
Well, thanks. Nice to be here.
Annie, Get Your Gun opened on Broadway in 1946. There's a film version made in 1950 and at least one television version, which was done in 1967. Tell us about the play.
It was recently revived on Broadway in 1999 with some changes to the original production. And it still is the story of how Annie Oakley met Frank Butler, which is a true story. They met through Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. And the storyline itself begins when they first meet in Ohio and continues through when they actually departed for a little while from one another in 2 different shows. Annie stayed with Buffalo Bill's Wild West show and went over to Europe and toured. And then towards the end of our production, which begins in Act 2 in Europe, they come back together then in the United States and rejoin forces at the end of the show. And you see their love story, the turmoil of it, throughout the production.
Now, you mentioned a version done in 1999, and there have been some other revisions through the years. How does the production at Menominee compare to the original?
I would say the biggest change is in regards to Native American culture and the way it's presented.
Mm-hmm.
The initial production involved a piece called, I believe it was called, I'm an Indian Too, which is no longer part of the show. It's not to not celebrate Native American history or anything like that, but it's I think they've just become a little more culturally sensitive to those matters that surround us in our society today.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the music. There's some wonderful music in it.
Absolutely. I would say the piece I think most people will be familiar with is Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, which is kind of a how can we outdo one another between Annie and Frank Butler. The other pieces that come to mind that I don't necessarily believe people know are part of this show is There's No Business Like Show Business is kind of the staple that holds this entire show together and is revisited several times through the production.
Mm-hmm.
There's An Old-Fashioned Wedding is a classic tune as well. Another piece I think that people may be familiar with is They Say That Falling in Love is Wonderful. I can't believe, actually, how much music is really in this show. Last night at rehearsal, I turned over to my stage manager and I said, holy mackerel, this is the longest bunch of music put together I've ever worked with. And he said, yeah, I can't believe it. There's so many songs. So it's certainly, you should walk out with your toe tapping from something you've heard.
He is Audric Boer, who is director of the Menominee Theater Guild production of Annie Get Your Gun. Well, who are the principal actors in the show?
Annie Oakley, is played by Sarah Kester. This is actually her first production here in Menominee with the Menominee Theater Guild. And it's really, I was speaking with her earlier today, and it's her first lead role in a production. She was involved in some things in Minnesota when she lived there. She actually is a musical theater major from Viterbo University in La Crosse. And she's really just phenomenal to work with, just dives in to character. When I auditioned the process, there were six women who really did a phenomenal job, and I'm sure I could have put any of those six in that position, and it would have been a fine show, but I think I did the casting correct as I've watched Sarah develop the character of Annie, and you can't help as an audience member but really like her. Another lead I would say that is doing an outstanding job as well is David Billingsley, is playing the role of Frank Butler. I believe for him, too, it is one of his first productions in kind of a lead role as well. He's done a few things with the Menominee Theater Guild before, but the chemistry between he and Sarah have been just, again, wonderful to watch develop as the characters have come off the stage into life.
Well, talking about the production staff, you have a musical director, I'm assuming, and a stage manager and things.
Yes, yeah, we've divided up into multiple categories. I have the musical director is Karen McCorson. This is her first experience in doing something quite like that. She's very musically gifted. I actually know her through my church that we go to, and I contacted her and said, hey, would you be interested in trying something like this? And I knew she has the gifts to do it, and she's certainly putting it together really nicely for me. So that's been wonderful. And Dr. Mark Pruitt is playing piano for it as well. And he has been very helpful kind of organizing a pit as well as just he, I think of all of us, he's probably the most familiar with the music of the show. He really, I think, has a passion for Annie Get Your Gun. And it's been nice to be working so closely with him as well. Other people involved from a leadership standpoint, April Price is our costumer. And I think times at which she feels like, there's a lot of costumes for this show because there really are. We're using characters in multiple venues. They're not just playing one character throughout the entire production. So at one scene, a character may come in as Sitting Bull, and then another scene later, he's a cowboy as well. So it's a lot of quick changes off stage from some of the characters. And April Price is doing a wonderful job with that. Our set is designed by Marty Colino. As always, he's a very artistic man, and to put that stage together is, you as an audience actually should feel like you're part of the big top that the show takes place in. And he's done a great job in making the set encompass you in many ways as well.
So you are the director of vocal music at Menominee High School. So you want to talk a little bit about your directing experience?
Sure. Yeah, I've been at Menominee High School now this is my seventh year. I'll be finishing up. I've directed the last six musicals at Menominee High School. This fall we just did Godspell. We've done Thoroughly Modern Millie and lots of different productions through the years. I directed a few just straight plays without music as well at Menominee High School in my 7 years there. Before that time, I actually was in West Des Moines, Iowa, and I was lucky enough to work with the director very closely. I was a technical director for a few years, but I directed a couple shows while I was down there, too. I come from Luther College in Decorah, Iowa, and was a music education as well as theater major. So my senior project was to direct a show down there. And so I got lots of experience and feel very comfortable in the role of directing.
We've been visiting with Audric Boer, director of the Menominee Theater Guild production of Annie Get Your Gun. The show opens Thursday, February 23rd and runs through March 4th at the Mabel Tainter Theater in Menominee. For ticket information, use your favorite internet search engine to find the websites for either the Theater Guild or the Tainter. Audric Boer, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, and I hope you can come to the show.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Festival Foods, supplying Festi Burgers as well as Festi Dogs to Lambeau Field and to fans at festival stores throughout Packerland. More information is at festfoods.com.
This is Spectrum West. 5:47 is the time. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being with us. Reed Grimm is a young man from western Wisconsin, and unlike many of us today, he's on a very big stage, the one with the familiar American Idol logo in the background. While three famous music icons, Randy Jackson, J-Lo, and Steve Tyler, judge every move and every note. For Reed Grimm, so far, so good. But who knows what tomorrow might bring. American Idol, in its 11th season, is like that. It's not as good as getting a box of homemade cookies from home or some encouragement from family members, but I thought a phone call from Reed's lifelong neck of the woods might be welcomed. So we went through all the channels and were able to spend a few quality minutes together. And kicking it off, I wanted to be certain that the most important stuff came out. I didn't know that Ellsworth is the cheese curd capital of Wisconsin. Have you?
That is the truth. In the early 1900s, I think, when it was founded. I have no idea. But we do make a lot of cheese, that's for sure.
Have you made them aware of that in Hollywood? Because that's big.
Absolutely, absolutely. I brought some cheese, and hopefully I can get Steven Tyler and Jennifer Lopez and Randy to eat a curd or two.
Well, Randy looks like he'd imbibe. I don't know about that. I don't know about the other two. Now, do you live in Minneapolis?
Yeah, I'm in between Minneapolis and Ellsworth. I'm a musician for hire, so yeah. I travel around here and there, Minneapolis-based.
Okay, well, you've been doing a lot of traveling, to say the least, lately. I mean, you go from a 3,200 population town of Ellsworth, and Minneapolis is a little culture shock, I suppose, the first time. Then you travel to Pittsburgh, finally to Hollywood, where all kinds of things happen. What do you do, you know, during that whole process? What do you do to keep your focus? You're such a spontaneous guy. Do you need focus?
No, I definitely use it. You know, there's times when, you know, I want the performance to be spontaneous, and I want to just let the moment take me. But then there are other times where, you know, there's a specific arrangement with the band or whatever. You know, you have to zone in and just get centered, get all the nervous energy out, you know, because I've been performing for my whole life. But, you know, this is a different ball game. So
yeah.
Just, you know, shake out all the nerves and then go out and try my best to communicate.
In college, I saw you minored in philosophy. That probably came in handy the other times that you jumped at and narrowly missed the American Idol ring.
Right.
did you fall back on that a bit?
Oh, well, I majored in music. And, you know, I really was drawn to philosophy because I've always just explored questions in life, you know, big questions that we all ask ourselves and just life in general. So it's helped me with writing music and trying to get, you know, get people to just think a little bit differently, a little bigger picture, you know.
You've had a lot of them, but is there one biggest musical influence that you've had in your life?
Whew. You know, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, just my family. My family, for sure. We were all on the road, and that's where it all started, you know, that got me going. And then once I started getting into high school and college, I started really listening to jazz a lot. And with jazz music, you know, you can go any direction. You know, you can go ballads, you can go salsa, you can go swing, you can get funky, you know, all sorts of genres within the genre of jazz.
Mm-hmm.
And so jazz has just been really big. But as far as one particular musical influence, you know, I couldn't pinpoint just one.
You know, a lot's changed for you in the last few months. Take me back a year ago. Where did you see, at that point, your music taking you?
I was in a band, or still am. You know, we're kind of on hiatus right
sure.
now.
Yep.
But the band's called Shoeless Revolution.
I listened to it online. Good stuff.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
We've been together at that point for about 5 years. And, you know, we had just getting a new guitarist. We're writing, and we're looking forward to taking our music, you know, to the next level, as you always do. And we had done some touring around the country, and so at that point we were just kind of reevaluating what we were doing with the band and the direction that we wanted to go. So about a year ago, right now, I mean, there wasn't a clear direction,
okay,
to be honest, as far as the band goes. I mean, I've always known that I've wanted to perform for my whole life, and now as I've grown and matured as an artist and as a musician, now the focus is not do I want to be a performer, because I definitely want to do that, but what type of performer and what are the messages that I want to spread.
It appears you have a lot to choose from, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Truth.
It really does. Yeah. Our guest is Reed Grimm. He's an American Idol contestant hailing from Ellsworth, Wisconsin. You know, you just brought up Shoeless Revolution a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
In talking about your talent, I read that one of your bandmates provided the best, in my estimation, and most concise definition of all it takes to be a musician. Carry a tune and keep a beat. And for you, it appears to come so naturally. Do you see music on terms that simple?
Well, you know, as far as music... Music to me, you know, music isn't just notes on a page or, you know, or a rhythm. You know, it connects us, you know, at such a primal, basic level, you know, where babies, they don't understand words, they're not thinking, but they feel it. It's something that unifies us. You know, I think it is. It is very simple, but I just, basically music is... It's hard to say, to describe music. I know I've been in it my whole life, and that it's something that brings people together.
Yeah.
And I'm blessed to have been blessed with the talent to provide such an amazing experience.
That's a great way of putting it. As you just said, you've been in entertainment since you were a little guy. Tell me what's different about the American Idol experience, other than the fact that there's cameras catching most of what you do all the time.
Well, you know, the American Idol experience, you know, you're surrounded by just some of the most amazing talent in the country, the most amazing singers, and I know that I'm not the greatest singer. You know, looking at the talent out there, there are some singers that just sing circles around me with their vocal ability.
Hmm.
I'm just fascinated by it and just trying to absorb, you know, everything that I can from everyone. What's different about it is that, you know, yes, there are cameras, but it's like a big camp. It's like a big music camp where everybody has the same dream and everybody has the same goal, and it just happens to be in front of 20 million people.
It feels to me like you're always cramming for a test.
Right. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. You know, you go from round to round, and if you get past one round, then boom, all right, here's the next task. Go. You know, X amount of time, and you got to get it together. And they're putting you through a pressure cooker, you know, boot camp to see how you deal with the pressure and what you produce from that pressure and how you work with people and all of it. And it's quite an experience.
I noticed, you know, you're the drummer in the band, so you usually play drums and sing. What's it like when you have to go on stage and stand there and you don't have that kit in front of you? Does it feel a little awkward? You don't seem to be awkward the way you move.
Right. Well, I definitely move when I play the drums, that's for sure.
In a different way.
But you know, when I didn't start playing drums and singing until college. Before that, whenever I would sing, you know, it would just be, you know, straight up, you know, in front. And then when I was in college in lacrosse, you know, I started playing drums and singing with Shoeless, but then I was in another band called Three Beers Till Dubuque.
That's a great name.
Oh, man, so fun. You know, they started in, I think, 97, and I joined in 2003 as just the front man. You know, I was able to kind of get familiar with, you know, being the leader of a band, you know, on stage and presenting myself as such, and then did Shoeless. And so sitting back up front, you know, it's not foreign, but I'm just getting back into it for sure.
One of my favorite songs on my personal hit parade, Reed, has always been, I'm an older guy, but it's always been Zippity Doodah. And yeah. I heard that you know, on some really nice days, I can find myself out in the yard just singing that song, and it does a good job of probably defining what you're going through right now. You're having a Zippity Doodah time, aren't you?
No doubt. You know, it's plenty of sunshine heading my way.
That's it.
You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful experience that I'm going through. It's surreal, you know, where we all have our dreams, you know, of what we want to have in our lives. And you know, this is part of that for me personally, you know, just being able to perform for the masses and spreading love and joy to the world at large. And this is just a surreal moment in my life. And I'm just looking forward to capturing it, and hopefully continuing on.
Hey, you know, this conversation is going to be airing, among other places, in the neighborhood in which you grew up. I'm wondering if you want to say anything to those people out there who taught you and who encouraged you and who really love you.
Oh, man. Well, everyone, Ellsworth, you know, family, friends, La Crosse, Twin Cities, you know, I am a product of all of you and all of the influence and love that you've given me. And I'm going to do my very, very best to take that and pay it forward, give it and spread it. So thank you. Thank you very much for everything that you've done for me. And we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, nicely said. You know, you have Wisconsin Idol locked up, so good luck the rest of the way.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you very, very much, Alan.
Okay. I'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
I hope so, too. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, how much fun was that? And congratulations, I'm sure, to his talented, supportive family and friends who do make him better at what he does, I think. I do believe you'll join me in wishing Reed Grimm all the best. We're proud, certainly, of homegrown talent, but even prouder, I hope, of what appears to be a sound and centered sense of character and purpose. Reed Grimm, Shooting for the Stars. Well, that wraps up another edition of Spectrum West here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Next week, it all starts with a jellyfish burger and will lead to more about art and design emanating from West Wisconsin. The Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra gets ready for another gig. We'll delve into the major role music plays in politics and elections from a new book and more. I'm Al Ross. Thanks for being with us, and have a great weekend. See you next Friday.